Scripture passages can be found in the insert in your bulletin. Old Testament reading today is Genesis 15, 1 through 6. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me, for I continue to be childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. Your very own shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and number the stars if you are able to count them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. This is the word of the Lord. In the New Testament, Hebrews 11, 8 through 16. By faith, Abram obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants, as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please join with me in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for what it teaches us. And Lord, I do thank you for this passage this morning. It's encouragement to us as Christian believers. I do pray, Lord, that as I preach your word, that you would guide my words by your Spirit. Lord, I do pray that you would guide our hearts and ears by your Spirit as well to understand the truths of the gospel and to be encouraged in the faith that you have given us. It's in Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen. I think for all of us as human beings, we long for a sense of home. And as I say to you, what is home or what does that look like? I wonder what picture comes to mind for you. Maybe it's a particular location, or maybe a particular time period that you were in your life. Maybe it is particular people that come to mind. But home is sort of this sense of a place of peace and rest, acceptance, and a place that we belong. I think for most of us as adults and even as children, all of us in life, we seek home in different places. We seek it, and this is not wrong, in the church that we connect with. We do. We seek for a place where we're safe, where we can know brothers and sisters and be encouraged in our faith. We seek for home in our community, those people that we live around. We pick our houses that we buy based on this reality. Do I like this neighborhood, this community? Will this be home to me? Some of us look for home in work, in the kind of jobs that we take, and in the particular giftings that we have. We look for a place where we say, I'm going to thrive at this, and this is going to be really good, or in our family. You know, we're all looking, I believe, for our true home. And we experience pieces of this, but never its fullness here. I would also say that Christian and non-Christian alike seek home, ultimately by faith. We're looking for the thing that will satisfy our hearts. We may have faith in our own works sometimes to get us to that place that will be home. But the distinction here biblically is that faith is actually given to us by God. And God is the one who is calling us to that place of home and rest. I believe two things about this. One is that ultimately the place that God is guiding us to is the promised land, is the eternal place of rest with God. And that is the home that our hearts ultimately long for. But I also do believe that as we walk with God, that we experience some of that home here and now as well as he leads us on that journey of faith. We don't have sermon notes this morning. I apologize about that, but I'll give you kind of the key things that you can take note of as we go. And this would be the kind of the big key truth for this morning, is that because God prepares a celestial city as the true home for his children, The Christian seeks home with him by faith. Ultimately, the journey of finding home is a journey of seeking the Lord Jesus Christ and seeking his guidance in all things. As we go through the Hall of Faith here in chapter 11 of Hebrews, and we look at the lives of many people in the Bible, the next life we're going to look at here is Abraham's. We're going to spend a couple weeks on Abraham. Obviously, he is one of the major fathers of the faith, as we as Christians believe. But his life actually teaches us some things about the journey of faith and what we are called to seek as we share that. Let's look at the text here, verses 8 and 9. The text says this: by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. Faith acts in obedience to the Lord, and Abraham is given a notice by the Lord that he is called to leave his homeland of Ur and travel to the place that the Lord will give him. But I love the fact that God doesn't tell him exactly where he's going, and so he steps out in faith, not knowing the exact direction that the Lord is leading him. So often the life of faith is a lot like that. We follow the Lord even when we don't know exactly where he is leading us. Sometimes God leads us down roads that we may not fully understand or we may not even want to go down. But the life of faith meets God as he enters our vicinity and he calls us to follow him down roads that he understands even when we do not. So why would we go? Ultimately, why should we go? Well, because we are to trust the one who is leading us, the Lord God himself. Look at verse 10 here. It says, for he, this is Abraham, was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. What this tells us is that God is building a celestial city. And even though Abraham was promised land on earth, Hebrews tells us that he was actually looking to the ultimate land that God was building. His faith was set on God and on God's promises to him. Faith ultimately trusts the foundations that God is building. We trust God. We trust him as our creator, as our redeemer, as our guide, as the one who loves us and leads us to a life of flourishing in him. Foundations of cities on earth can be impressive, but ultimately they can't compare with the grandeur of what our God can build. Now, we are to know that by faith. None of us have seen this celestial city that God is leading us to, but we trust our God and we know that he is truthful to his word and to the things that he has promised. We are to keep our eyes on his promises by faith, and we are to seek that eternal home in him. And so if you were taking notes, this would be point one for you this morning, is that faith looks forward in hope to an eternal home with God. We experience that home with him now, but not fully yet. We look forward to an eternal home with God. And we are on this journey of every day following the Lord, walking with him, and one day knowing that we will end up in this celestial city with Abraham and with the other fathers of our faith as we celebrate the presence of the Lord. There's a wonderful book called Pilgrim's Progress, which I read a couple years ago for the first time. And Pilgrim's Progress was written by John Bunyan. And it's the story of this man named Christian. And he is journeying to the eternal city. But it's not an easy journey. It's a journey of faith. And, you know, in that journey, he encounters one hardship after another. Sometimes he gets off the path. He's tempted to get off of it by these characters, Simple, Sloth, and Presumption. And they try to entice him away from where God is leading him. He's almost driven to turn around at one point by these roaring lions that he faces. But there's a scene in the book where he comes to rest at this house beautiful, and he becomes very encouraged by those that dwell there. They tell him actually to climb this mountain, and from there he will be able to gaze at the celestial city. And there's this great moment in the book as he does that, and he looks out on where he's going. It says the vision gives vigor to his limbs and to his life. I believe that's what God's word does to us as well, is that as we hear the promise of what God is promised to us in this city that we are journeying towards, this eternal life in him, it gives vigor to our limbs and to our life in the midst of the ups and downs of our journey. Ultimately, this journey of faith is a journey with the Lord. We do not walk it alone. We walk it with the God who has promised and who is not only our creator, but our redeemer and the one building the city that we are to enter. I believe what the scriptures are calling us to do is to go on this journey of faith like Abraham has and like so many others have. Remember ultimately the God who has promised us. Remember that he is reliable, that his word is truthful, and that he does what he says he will do. But I think also part of what encourages us in the faith is that we need to gaze at the city of promise. We need to gaze at it through the scriptures, through the things that the scriptures teach us about our reality and about the fact that we are heirs of the kingdom of God, that we are sons and daughters of the one who created the world. Recognize this home that he's promised and follow him and seek him. How do we know this promise of home that God's building is ultimately true? Well, look at verses 11 and 12 here and what it says. It says, "By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore." I've always wondered if perhaps when Abraham got, when the author of Hebrews got to heaven, if Abraham had words with him and said, you know, thanks for writing that I was as good as dead in Hebrews chapter 11. But, you know, it's a great description because basically, you know, Abraham was old. He was 100 years old before he ever had children. And Sarah herself was 90 years old before the Lord allowed them to conceive. The reality of this is that God used means by which it would seem like this is going to be impossible for them to have children, and yet they did, because the Lord had promised offspring to Abraham and to make him a great nation and a blessing to all families of the earth. By faith, they witnessed God's faithfulness in what he promised, although it didn't happen overnight. God made a promise to them, and then they walked for a number of years before they actually saw that promise come to fulfillment. I believe for us to dwell with God in the home our hearts long for, it's a call for us to pursue his righteousness, but also to recognize that in and of ourselves, we are not righteous. Part of the barrier between us and the home that we long for is the fact that we are sinners who violate God's law. This is what the Bible tells us is the main problem humanity faces, is that God is holy and separate from all that is sinful and wrong, and we, as sinners who have rebelled against him, cannot be in his presence fully. But the good news of the gospel, what we are called to believe, is that God loved us so much that he sent his own son to become a man. Jesus, the man who came and lived a righteous life. And in fact, this is the amazing thing about Jesus, the Son of God, came to walk the faith journey that we're all called to walk. Did you ever think about that? I mean, that's an amazing thing. And I know Jesus was God incarnate in his human flesh, but he came and lived a life on earth where he walked with the Lord and he led by example, the way that we are called to live. God himself in the person of Jesus took the same journey that he calls all of us to take, trusting the Lord. But Jesus does it perfectly. He never doubts the goodness of God. He lives righteously. And then Jesus also takes the punishment for our sins on the cross. He dies in our place. He pays for our penalty, and he credits us with his righteous life, with his perfect journey in God. And therefore, by faith, we are to remember that we are following a Savior who has credited us with righteousness, that we are in right standing, that there is a place for all of us in this celestial city who have confessed Jesus Christ as our Savior and are following him there. That is good news to our hearts. But here's the other thing that I think is so important, why Abraham and Sarah were able to continue on in the faith and know that God was leading them to this promised land and to this celestial city, was because they remembered God's faithfulness in their past. They saw what he did. He brought Isaac into being. This child that God had promised did come into being. And in the same way that they could look at that and they were confident that what God says is true, so we, brothers and sisters, I believe, are to remember God's faithfulness in our past. Sometimes when we go through difficulties in life, it's good for us to look back and remember those times where we sensed the Lord's nearness, where we sensed him guide us through a difficult situation, maybe in a relationship, maybe in our marriage, maybe in a financial struggle that was really hard and we didn't know how we were going to get out, and then we saw the Lord provide. How quickly and easily we forget about those things. But I believe part of what encourages us in the faith is that we remember our God is with us and he takes care of us. Remember also the salvation that you have in Jesus. Remember that you are counted righteous in the sight of God, that God looks at you with the same love that he looks at his son Jesus, who stands in perfect righteousness. That is the amazing truth of the gospel. That's hard for us to believe, but we are called to remember that. Anyone notice as well in verse 11, the mention of Sarah? The Bible says about her that she considered him faithful who had promised. Now, if you know the story of Abraham and Sarah, don't you remember that Sarah actually laughed at the idea that she would become a mother in Genesis 18? And you know what? Genesis 17 says that Abraham also laughed, that he laughed at the idea that he was going to become a father. But here's what I love about Hebrews 11. It doesn't mention either of those things. What it mentions here is it speaks only of the fact that Sarah and Abraham had faith, and not a word of their doubt or complaints are mentioned in this passage. You know what this tells me? Is the same truth that is true of us is that because of the righteousness of Christ credited to us, that's how God looks at us too. Being at home, ultimately, is to be accepted in spite of ourselves, safe, without the stain of our sin. And here's what's so wonderful about the promise of faith in God is that God actually honors us for faith and remembers us or remembers our sins no more. Faith actually leads us to the home where we are who we long to be. The good news of the gospel is that we are credited with Jesus' righteousness and that he is transforming us into the people that our hearts actually long to be. You know, in the story, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, that famous story about, you know, Peter, Edmund, Susan, and Lucy, these four children that end up in Narnia, and they go to meet Aslan, the lion. Well, remember that Edmund, actually, in the beginning of that story, betrays his family. He sides with the witch and actually, like, basically betrays them all, and he, you know, has done everything wrong. But you know what? Aslan redeems him. This lion brings him back and brings him into the fold. And at the end of the story, Edmund is made a king. And you know what his title is? King Edmund the Just. Man, that's the gospel. That's the gospel. The gospel is that in Christ Jesus, we are transformed to be who it is that we long to be, who it is that God created us to be. It is an amazing truth of the one who we follow not only paid for our sins, but credits us with his righteousness and transforms us. Brothers and sisters, I believe Hebrews 11 is teaching us to seek the Lord and to remember his faithfulness. Recount the things that he has done in your lives. Recount where he has led you. Believe his righteousness and believe ultimately that in Jesus Christ you are released from your sin and from your shame. Verse 13 goes on to say this. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on earth. Abraham received a son, Isaac, yes, but not the land that God had promised him. I would say that in many ways, this is true of the Christian experience. On earth, we experience God's faithful promises, but we do not experience the fullness of everything yet. None of us on earth here have seen the celestial city that God has promised to those who follow him. Well, then, if we don't receive what's been promised, then Christians should be pitied. We won't inherit all these promises in our life on earth. So what does Abraham's life teach us? Well, the Christian hope is not ultimately set on the things of earth. It doesn't mean that we don't experience some home here and enjoy the things that God has given us here, but part of the reality of Abraham's life and of these other heroes of the faith is that they were to live as strangers and exiles on earth. Like Abraham, we greet the promises of God from afar. Now, I will tell you that I think there is some trouble with the idea that the world is not our home, okay? And here's why. Because ultimately, I believe what the Bible teaches is that actually we are creatures that were made to be part of this world. We were created to see it redeemed. Now, ultimately, though, the world in its present form is not as it should be. It's a broken place. There are sinfulness has basically corrupted the lands that we live in. And so ultimately, this world that that follows the pursuit of sin is not ultimately our home. But the God who has promised us that he is leading us to a home promises also redemption for everything that he has created. I believe this is what Romans 8 teaches, that creation's groaning, waiting for the sons of God to be revealed, because at their revealing, at Christ's return, the world will be redeemed. But the idea is here that right now in our present life and in our present world, we live as exiles and strangers. Colossians 3:2 tells us to set our minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. We are to focus on the Lord in his glory in heaven. Faith looks to home with God, recognizing that ultimately it won't be found here until that day we are face to face with Jesus. Verses 14 and 15 say this, "For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return." Hebrews 4 reminds us of the children of Israel and how they looked back to Egypt. Instead of going to where God had promised them, they actually began to long for the place that they had come from, and they missed the rest that God had promised. This is one of the tragedies that Hebrews 4 talks about. Faith ultimately doesn't set its hopes on things behind us. And this is important for us, okay? Is that sometimes what happens in our hearts is that we long for those places that have been home for us in the past. And so we set our eyes backwards. We set our eyes on the things that we've come from. And, you know, we are to remember those things, but we are not to long with our hearts for past experiences, but actually look forward to where God has us now, to where he is leading us, and ultimately to the promised land that we are heading to. This was true of Abraham. Verse 9, one of the realities here is that it says that he was actually living with Isaac and Jacob in tents. And the idea of them living in tents means that they were traveling. This was not their homeland. They hadn't set stakes there as though they were exactly what they were in the place that they were looking for, but that God was guiding them, and they recognized that it was not here yet. I believe, brothers and sisters, that by faith we are to look forward. We are to follow the Lord and where he's leading us, where he has us now, and to not dangerously look back all the time and say, you know what, I just really want to go back there. Or I just really want it to be like it used to be. Remember that our God is promising us a future with him ahead. Verse 16 says this, "But as it is, they desire a better country that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city." The Christian, in a sense, brothers and sisters, is restless on earth, seeking the better home, which is ours in Christ, a heavenly home. Those who set their hopes on God have their names associated with him, and he is not ashamed to be their God. I believe what it tells us right here about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is that the God who called himself their God calls himself our God too. Our names are as God declares that I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he looks at each of us as well who have faith in him and says, I am the God of Nick LaFountain. I'm the God of Caleb. I'm the God of Evelyn. You put your name in that spot. God is not ashamed to call us his people as we believe in him and as we follow him. Faith ultimately desires the better city God has built because God is the one who lives there and calls us to himself. You know, ultimately, I believe as a Christian that death is the enemy, but we do not fear it as Christians. It doesn't put the climax on our journey home. We are on an amazing journey of walking with the Lord, and the reality is that when we die in faith, it is the entry point to our journey to the celestial city. Dwight L. Moody died in 1899. He was a famous evangelist, and on his last morning alive, his son heard him say, "Earth is receding, heaven is opening, God is calling." His son said, "You're dreaming. No, Will, he said, this is no dream. I've been within the gates. I have seen the children's faces. Moody seemed to revive, but then started to slip away again. Is this death, he was heard to say? This is not bad. There is no valley. This is bliss. This is glorious. His daughter now had come, and she began to pray for him to recover. And he actually said, no, no, Emma, don't pray for that. God is calling. This is my coronation day. I have been looking forward to it. Brothers and sisters, that is the Christian journey. It is a journey of finding our home ultimately in the Lord. If you know him, you are at home now in him, and he will lead you each step of the way. But ultimately, what you are to know as well is that he is leading us to a place that is glorious, and even death itself does not separate us from the one who died for our sins and was resurrected to glory and is leading us home. Now, that's a faith journey I want to be on. How about you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, my faith is so weak. And so often, Lord, I know that I have so many doubts and so many things. But God, I do thank you, Lord, for the faith of Abraham. I thank you that though he was as good as dead, you gave he and Sarah a child as you had promised. Lord, you are faithful to your word. And Lord, as we look on that story, we are to remember ultimately that our God is the one who does what he says he will do. Lord, the promises of your word that there is a celestial city prepared for us is too good for words for us to even understand. Lord, help us to believe and help us to gaze at that city through your scriptures. And Lord, help us each step of the way to follow you home. God, I do pray for each of us today, no matter where we're at, that you would encourage our hearts in the faith that you have given us. Lord, provide for us. Help us to remember where we have seen you so actively in our midst, in the power of your Spirit. God, let this journey of faith be a glorious one for each of us. And I thank you most especially, Lord, that you are not ashamed to call us your children and to be our God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.